The following program does not necessarily constitute endorsement of our product by the War or Navy Department, as they do not endorse any product.
Monday, July 6th, from the grand ballroom of the Hotel Stafford in Cleveland, Ohio, the makers of Promo Seltzer bring you Fox Plus, the voice of the people. Tonight, presenting the members of the local fan All-Star Baseball Team. And now, limping up to the microphone are two very tired and very green baseball rookies, your two box toppers, Clark Johnson and Warren Hull.
Imagine that, Warren. Rookies, he calls us. And after all the traveling we've done all over the Middle West, practicing with these all-stars, huh?
Yeah.
Rookies.
Especially the three-hour workout we went through with the boys yesterday afternoon out in the Cleveland Stadium. Oh, my right arm.
And boy, both my legs.
Well, the worst of it was the ribbing we had to take from these big leaguers.
Well, Warren, maybe we're not so hot at nabbing those high flyers, but we sure got a lot of swell inside dope on the men that signed up to play for Uncle Sam. And, folks, the first man tonight, the first man to come aboard Vox Pop, is one of the all-time great catchers of baseball, a man who is now doing an important job in Uncle Sam's Navy, Lieutenant Gordon Mickey Cochran. I'm going to hang on to you. That's where I was. All right to call you Mickey?
Sure.
All right, Mickey, tonight we're going to talk a little baseball and a lot of Navy and Army. First, though, about that big game tomorrow. Are your service all-stars in good shape?
Yes, they're trained and ready.
You think they'll give a good account of themselves?
I think so. Of course, we've kind of been handicapped, a little lack of time and preparation, but we'll be out there.
Well, you haven't had a chance to practice together very much. I know that. They're coming from all parts of the country, aren't they?
Yes, they're from all over the country, but we have had them together for the past 8 or 9 days. They're in good shape, and we'll give a good account of us.
I know you will. Any man in the service is a fighter. You've been sort of looking forward to this game, I know, a long time, haven't you, Mickey?
Yes, I've been thinking about it for quite a while, and I hope tomorrow night we can really fill that stand out there.
I hear that you were even talking about it way back last January or February, Mickey. How many men you got on your all-star squad?
I think we have 23 active players and a couple of coaches.
I notice you got a lot of them are major leaguers. I just sort of wonder what your payroll would be out there, huh?
Well, I think if they were back with their former baseball clubs, I think they would run in the neighborhood of about $52,000 a month.
Mm.
But see what we get now. Uncle Sam has them for about $1,800.
Boy, and what you've got for $1,800. Well, now, Mickey, what is your job in the Navy?
Well, my job at present consists of managing the Great Lakes Naval Training Station baseball team on the road and at home, and also supervising a vast intramural softball program and an officer's softball league.
And, of course, you do a bit of recruiting through your with your baseball teams, don't you?
Yes, that's one of the main purposes of the team.
What was that story about Omaha that I heard?
Well, we were out in Omaha last week and talked to the recruiting officer, and he said, well, we're going to induct some boys out at the ballpark tonight. I said, how many do you expect? And he said, well, I think there'll be about 54 out there. But at 5 o'clock when we went out to play the ball game, there was 103 boys stepped up the home plate to take the oath.
Brother, if I was a little younger, I think I'd have been right in among them, Mickey. Because I know how you inspire all those chaps out there. Say, in playing in Detroit Saturday, I was there watching you, of course. Was any sentiment connected with playing there?
Yes, quite a bit. Because it was in that ballpark, I think I received the greatest thrill in my baseball career, winning the World Series in 1935 against the Cubs.
Uh-huh.
I also got a great kick out of catching my old battery mate, George Earnshaw.
Yes, sirree. And all those of us who were sitting there Saturday got a thrill out of that, too. Well, George is right here with us, so why shouldn't we get him up here and make a threesome out of it? Come on up, folks.
Come on up, George.
A little bit closer, folks. Lieutenant George Earnshaw of the United States Navy. Where are you stationed, George?
Parks, I'm located down at the Jacksonville Naval Air Base in Jacksonville, Florida.
Uh-huh. And what are your duties down there?
Why, I'm an assistant personnel officer on the station, and I simply came up here to help my old pal Mickey out in conditioning this ball club for this game tomorrow night.
How did it feel pitching to Mickey over there? You pitched one inning in that game Saturday. I don't know why a lot of people read about that or not, and you stuck out the first man. How did it feel pitching to Mickey?
Well, it was one of the biggest thrills I've ever had out of baseball since I actually quit my big league play.
How long ago was that?
That was in 1936. I didn't want to quit then, but the rest of them seem to think I ought to.
Tell me, what is the purpose of tomorrow night's All-Star game?
Well, tomorrow night's All-Star game is a big event. First of all, it's going to be played for the Army and Navy Relief.
Uh-huh.
Hey, Parks, by the way, do you know what the Army and Navy Relief do?
Well, in sort of a general way, Mickey. What?
Well, probably a lot of people would be interested to know that within 24 hours after a casualty occurs in the Army or Navy, that the families of those casualties can receive immediate help from the Army and Navy Relief Societies, and they take care of their families until the regular government procedure goes on through.
And, Mickey, I want you to know that all of us out there are just happy every time we get an opportunity to do anything on that relief fund for both the Army and the Navy. George, I want to ask you something else. You're coaching on the All-Stars, aren't you?
Why, yes, Parks, I'm one of the coaches. I'm probably the junior coach, but
who's
the real man, the real coacher out there is none other than the man that was introduced here a while ago, Hank Gowdy.
Oh, Hank, down there in the front row.
Hank,
will you, Hank, come
you
on,
know
come
Hank,
on.
The...
Come on over here, Hank, and take in just a hello to the folks on the air.
Yes, thank you very much.
Just one word to the radio audience. Hank, am I right that you were the first major league ball player to enlist in the last World War?
Well, that has been the supposition, although I've always liked to say this, that there was a lot of firsts and a lot of different kind of professions that were in the war before.
A real soldier, Hank, and we're happy to have you with us tonight.
Thank you.
Wait a minute, Lieutenant Cochran and Lieutenant Earnshaw. Let me say that tonight, Vox Pop is not going to give its usual gifts to those who are interviewed. Instead, we're going to send our checks, of course, to the Navy and the Army Relief. But Bromo Seltz and Vox Pop does want each, not only of you men who are interviewed, but each member of your squad to have a little souvenir gift from us. So for each one of you, we've got from Mark Cross, that famous firm on Fifth Avenue in New York, the finest leather toilet kit all fitted out that we could find. It'll be engraved in gold to each of you with your initials and where you are. And thank you very much, gentlemen.
Thank you.
Nice. As to every member of the squad. Now, before our next all-star steps up the microphone, here's Ernest Chappell with a word about headache.
Well, not just headache, Clark, because so often it's more than that. So often when you have a common sick headache, your nerves are shaky and your stomach's upset, too. And friends, when you're suffering these three-way miseries, you need three-way relief. So ask for Bromo Seltzer. Unlike many headache preparations, Bromo Seltzer acts not one, but three ways on head, nerves, and stomach. You get effective relief. Quickly feel more like your old self again. Of course, if you have persistent or recurring headaches, you should see a physician. But for common sick headaches, do as millions do. Take a Bromo Seltzer. See what a difference it makes when you fight headaches not one, but three ways with Bromo Seltzer.
As usual, right you are, Chappie. And now, folks, we're back here in the grand ballroom of the Statler Hotel in Cleveland with the All-Star Service Team. Another member is a fellow who came 5,000 miles from the Panama Canal Zone to play with this team. He's from Queensville, Long Island, 25, a pitcher from the Red Sox, Mickey Harris. Mickey, now, you worked me out yesterday. I'm going to work you out now. I'm going to pitch, and you're going to catch this time. What outfit are you with, Mickey?
I'm with the Coast Artillery, Warren, down at the Canal Zone.
What sort of guns there? I mean, the big ones, or what?
Well, we have all types, 3-inch, 8-inch, and 16-inch guns.
I see. Well, I bet they're all loaded and cocked, aren't they?
Yes, they are.
And they work you fellas pretty hard, guarding the canal?
Yes, we're on alert down there 24 hours a day, 7 days a week.
Well, what's your particular job?
Well, I'm a supply sergeant down there.
Well, what do you supply, sergeant?
Everything from soup to bolts and nuts.
Oh, well, you mean everything?
Just about, Warren.
Well, there's a job waiting for you in a drugstore then after the war. I can see that. Did you play much baseball in the Canal Zone?
Yes, I was able to play about twice a week in a twilight league down there after the whistle blew.
I see.
Warren, let me tell you something. He's been in the Bush League in civilian life, and now he's playing in the Bush League down there in Panama.
Oh, wait a minute. Who is this fellow here? Oh, sure, sure. This, folks, this handsome fellow with the black wavy hair, the piercing brown eyes, the Victor Mature profile.
Are you kidding, Warren?
He's from the Army and the Giants, Private Morris Arnovich from Superior, Wisconsin.
Thanks, Warren. That must be a great milk and dairy league.
Well, that's what I get that on, milk, cream, and cheese.
Mickey, wait a minute, Maury. Now, look, we're going to get to you. Mickey, what do you think of the Red Sox chances to knock over the Yankees in the pennant drive?
Well, personally, Warren, the way the Sox are going today, I think they got a good chance of winning the pennant in the American League.
Well,
fine. Regardless who wins in the American League, the National League will still win the World Series.
Oh. Well, Maury, you wouldn't mean the Dodgers, would you?
Well, you wouldn't need to put me on the spot, would you, Warren?
I suppose if you said the Dodgers, you'd be safer in Tokyo than you would in New York, eh? Mickey, do you want to get back to Major League Baseball after the war?
Yes, Warren, if I'm physically fit and able, I'd like to, but right now we got a tougher league to win, and we hope we win that pennant.
You said it, boy.
That's right, Warren. That's the league we have to win. That's the pennant we have to win.
Well, Maury, what's your work in the Army?
Well, after my special duty, my ordinary duty, I'm a player manager of the Fort Lewis baseball team out in Fort Lewis, Washington.
I see. Well, are there many teams there?
Every company, Warren, has a baseball team. We see that every boy plays baseball or any stage of athletics they so desire. And we need a lot of equipment, believe it or not, and we do all our playing after our daily routine is over.
Well, Maury, yesterday afternoon in the workout out there at that stadium, you folks have heard about, you know, you look pretty sharp. In batting practice, you had parts of me running our legs off trying to catch those long drives.
Yeah, after all, you knew who I was hitting. I was hitting at an American League pitcher.
No, really. No, folks, that was Johnny Sturm, a first baseman. Good thing it wasn't Mickey Harris, huh? Right, Mickey? I want to thank both of you boys, and will you step right over here and get both of your souvenir toilet kits from Bomo Seltzer? Thank you very much, and good luck to both of you.
Thank you, Walt.
All right, Bart.
Folks, here's a real ball player who is playing ball for and with one of the best teams in the world, the best team ever organized, Uncle Sam. He's from the New York Yankees, the man who got to first base and played it, Corporal John Sturm of the Army.
Thank you.
John, where are you stationed?
Well, I'm stationed at the reception center at Jefferson Barracks, Missouri.
Down near St. Louis?
That's right, sir.
Uh-huh. How long have you been in the Army?
Well, I've been in 6 months now.
I remember, of course, that you got in early. You didn't even practice, I mean, go down the training season this year,
did you?
That's
right.
What are you doing down there, Jefferson Barracks?
Well, I have a series of extraordinary jobs which I've never done before.
Yeah?
In my civilian life, public relations clerk. And, we put on shows to entertain the casuals as they come through. We handle all the activities, athletic activity. Don't let me forget. We have to do it, too.
Oh, you do? Well, I'll ask you about that in a minute, but there's one thing you said athletics say. I'd like to ask you something. In the ball games that we've been going to all this year, every time a foul ball is hit in the stands, we throw it out for the Army and the Navy. Do you get them?
Well, that's sure a break for us, brother. We sure do. Just before I came up here, we got a lot of baseballs from the Major League.
You did, huh?
Yes, sir.
Okay, I knew they were coming. I just wanted to know if it got any down to Jefferson Barracks. John is a ball player. You got up, I suppose, along about 9 o'clock in the morning when you were with the Yankees. What time do you get up now?
Oh, man. 5:30 in the morning.
You do?
Oh, that's not all. We have to make our bunks up, scrub the floors, and, then start into the usual Army routine.
For instance, what is that? What do you do then?
Oh, man. They just keep you... Don't forget you have to stand in line for chow. That's 1:30 in the morning.
And that's when the drill comes in, huh?
Well, we organize that. We have a special curriculum for that. And it just passes on to our whole day, which is 24 hours a day.
In other words, just because you're a ball player, you're not excused from work.
No, sir.
You work just like everybody
else,
huh?
That's right.
You know all your squad? No, not squads right and left. What, you can tell I was in the last war, can't you? You got some other way going now. Say, did you start in as a corporal, John?
No, sir. I put in 4 months as a private, buck private.
Buck private, huh?
Yes, sir.
Say, is that first 4 months pretty tough? Was it hard to change over from civilian life to army life?
Yes, it is. It's quite a tough job. But we fellas, being athletes and getting around the country as we do, why, we kind of get into the swing of things a little faster than the ordinary person.
Well, I guess that's true. You're always, when you're in good physical condition, your mental condition is naturally pretty good, too,
isn't
it?
That's right, sir.
Well, from your observation, you've seen a lot of athletes coming through. Would you say that they've got a little of the edge on a fellow who isn't, let's say, an athlete?
Well, that's right. An athlete is an athlete, but these casuals that come through, well, we have to make athletes out of them in order to be good soldiers.
And that's part of your job, isn't it?
That's right, sir.
Say, John, I believe you had a little record last year in a World Series game, or at least you tied one. What was it? I don't seem to recall, except that you had some kind of a record. What was it?
Well, I hit safely in all five of the World Series games.
Boy, George, yes, I do remember that. You were doing a lot of hitting there. Did you ever bat against Bobby Feller?
Yes, I did. And I think Bob's as good a pitcher as ever put on a baseball uniform.
You bet your life he is. John, wish we had longer with the Army, but the Navy is coming up just now. Will you take from Bromo Seltz and Vox Pop your gift? And thank you very much.
Thank
We've
you,
enjoyed
sir.
Having you.
How about it, Warren? You ready?
Folks, here's another farm boy who made good in the big city. A fellow whose income was $3,000 a month. Now Uncle Sam's got him in the Navy for $125 a month. From Van Meter, Iowa, Chief Specialist Bob Feller. Bob, how we're going back sort of to your beginnings. How did you start out pitching?
Well, I started out as a shortstop and found out that I could throw hard and couldn't hit, so I went on to the pitcher's box.
Well, as one country boy to another, did you really have a circle painted on the barn door and did you throw at it?
No, don't anyone believe that. That's a lot of baloney, but I had... We had horse collars hanging all over the place.
Oh, and you tried to pitch through them, huh?
That's right.
Well, since that time, you've pitched a lot of horse collars up on that scoreboard, haven't you, boy? Who's the toughest batter you've ever pitched to?
Well, I'll say Ted Williams is about tops, and Taft Wright and Rip Radcliffe follow very closely.
Well, why are they tough?
Well, they never bited a bad ball.
I see. Well, tell me one thing. Did you ever pitch against Maury Arnovich?
Well, I pitched against Maury in spring training one time.
You said it. He threw a curve ball by way of third base and hit me in the back.
Poor Maury. I'll tell you... One thing about Maury, folks, Maury is the only National Leaguer with us tonight, so he really has to talk up for his league. Bob, how do you feel? Do you think you're in shape for that big game tomorrow night?
Yes, I'm in very good condition, and I've been pitching ever since the 1st of April, with the exception of 1 month when I was on a transfer where they had no ball club.
Well, I just want to tell you, folks, that after that workout yesterday, the one you've heard about at Cleveland Stadium, when we left after 3 hours, here was Bob, all alone, out in the middle of center field, lying on his back doing calisthenics. So that's how hard he works at it, rolling in the clover out there.
Well, I hope I picked up a four-leafer while I was there.
Yeah. Well, what do you think of this game? Do you think you're going to win it tomorrow night, you fellas?
Well, all the boys have a lot of confidence. We've been together for the past 8 or 10 days, and we're all out there. We have our shipmates and our buddies all over the world are going to be listening in, and we're not going to let them down.
Well, you said it, boy. How long have you been in the Navy?
I'd enlisted the 9th of December.
Oh, you didn't waste much time after the 7th, did you? What are your duties now, Bob?
Well, naturally, you have to stand all the regular watches. In fact, I might tell you now, I'm down in Norfolk, Virginia, and I have been platoon commander down there. The present time, last 10 days, I say, we've been up here getting in condition. I'll resume my regular duties when I return.
Well, do you expect to go to sea soon?
Well, I don't expect to go right soon, but about the 1st of August, I'm going to go to gunnery school, and after that, why, I'm ready to go anytime.
I see. Well, we hope that you pitch lots of strikes against the Japs and the Nazis, my boy. And now, will you step over here and get your souvenir from Bromo Seltzer? Thank you very much, Bob Feller, and good luck to you.
Thank you.
Now, folks, it's time to meet the men of America's production front. Tonight, we present Mr. Roger E. Walton of Santa Monica, California. Warren, suppose you read his letter.
Sure thing. Roger Walton writes, I work in one of the nation's largest aircraft factories. My job is to help keep a record of every single piece of material that we use, from the time it comes in until it leaves our plant as part of a bomber or a fighter plane. It's tedious, exacting work, and sometimes gives me a headache.
Well, I don't wonder.
One day, I got such a nasty headache that I thought I'd have to go home. But one of my friends took a bottle of Bromo Seltzer out of his desk drawer and asked me to try it. I did, and soon my headache was so much better that I was able to stay on the job. Ever since then, I've kept a bottle of Bromo Seltzer in my desk drawer, and I notice a lot of the other men do, too.
Well, thank you, Roger Walton. And friends, whether yours is an office or a factory job, remember, these are vital days. Don't let a common sick headache rob you of your efficiency. For quick, effective relief, take a Bromo Seltzer.
Yes, and send us your Bromo Seltzer experience. Maybe your letter will help some other Vox Popper to discover what millions already know. When it comes to headache, there's just nothing better than Bromo Seltzer.
You bet it, Warren. And now, folks, a lot of you think maybe that when a well-known athlete goes into the Navy, that he immediately gets a commission. That's not true. Here's one of the hundreds who started at the bottom. I want you to know from the Chicago White Sox, one of the finest pitchers in the game, Seaman First Class, John Rigney. Hi, John. John, I don't know anybody. I don't know anybody else to ask but you. I guess I better go ahead and ask you. Is it true that you married the boss's daughter, huh?
I guess I did, Park.
You did?
Well, she chased me until I caught up with her.
Okay, well, I just want to settle that. When's you going to Navy?
May 8th, Park.
I remember now that you did pitch in the early part of the season. What was your record so far this year?
I won 3 and lost 3 up until the time I joined the Navy.
Uh-huh.
Say, Parks.
Oh, here's that Marjanovic again. What is it, Maury?
Well, good thing Rigney didn't pitch in the National League. His record would have been 1-0 and lost 6.
Well, you Busher, if I was in that soft league, I'd have won 6 and lost none.
Now, wait a minute.
I'm digging in on this discussion.
Wait a minute, fellas. Hold it. Maury, we'll get to you a little bit later on. I want to talk a little bit more to John here. John, you went through the usual boots training, of course.
Oh, yes, Parks. Everybody that goes out to Great Lakes goes through that boot training. 5 weeks of pretty strict training.
It is strict, huh?
Oh, yes.
What was the toughest part of it?
Well, I remember one morning when our company commander got us up at 4 o'clock in the morning, which is pitch dark out now, and ran us 2 miles on double time, then brought us back in front of the barracks and gave us 15 minutes of calisthenics, and then we went on KP until 9:30 that night.
Oh, so
that's not a breeze.
That's part of the boot training, huh?
And then we sleep in hammocks, too.
You do? You're pretty good on that, huh?
Didn't hit the deck once.
Rock a bye, baby, yes. In the treetop, huh? Say, John, you drill, of course.
Oh, yes, we drill about 3 hours a day, every day.
And then, of course, you practice ball after you've finished with your work of the day.
Oh, yeah,
right?
When the day's work is through, then we go in for recreation.
John, you ready for sea duty?
Oh, yes, I'm ready anytime they call me. Ready to go out with my company as soon as they call me.
Uh-huh. Say, what did they pay a first-class seaman now?
What's $66 a month.
66, huh? Well, that's quite a lot of difference in what you were getting. I'd guarantee that you were making as much in 2 innings of pitching 1 game as you make in a month now. That's about right, isn't it?
I guess so.
Well, maybe, John, maybe in money, you're not getting paid as much.
No, Parks, I think the difference is made up in getting this job done that we got in front of us. I'll take the cut.
You take the pay that way, will you, John? I'd say that was spoken like a sailor's sailor, which reminds me of an old baseball expression that I think I know, but I'd like for you to explain to me. What's a ball player's ball player?
Well, the way we've always thought of a ball player's ball player, we had one 2 years ago in Mike Krivich, our center fielder. He could throw, he could hit, he could run. He always seemed to do everything at the right time. And he was really a team ball player. He played to win, whether we're winning 14-2 or whether we're losing 14-2.
He didn't play for Mike Krivich, huh?
No, he played for the team.
And that's
time.
What all you men are playing for now.
Yes.
And a bigger team.
Yes.
Well, John, your gift package from Bromo Seltzer and Vox Pop, and thank you a lot. And wherever you go, lots of luck.
Thanks a lot, Pop.
Okay, Warren. Oh, here's that Marjanovic.
Just a minute
again.
Here. Just a minute here. I want to have... I'm serious now.
Okay, Maury. Go right ahead, boy.
In behalf of Commander Tunney, Lieutenant Mickey Cochran and Lieutenant Earnshaw and members of the all-service baseball team, I want to present to Parks and Warren Hall this cake on their eighth year on the radio networks.
Well, Maury...
Warren, that's pretty nice, isn't it, boy?
That's a beauty. Folks, that was really a great big cake with eight great big candles on it. Parks, I've just joined you, so I'm going to take just a small slice of that cake.
We're going to have a lot of fun the next 8 years, Warren.
Okay, Warren, who's next? Thank you very much, Commander, Lieutenant, and all you men. We appreciate that.
Now, ladies and gentlemen, we have here a champion who retired undefeated. A man who's back in the service of his country, having given up all other interests, and he's making a fine career in the Navy now, Commander J.J. Gene Tunney. Commander Tunney, we know that you were in a branch of the Navy in the First World War. How did you come to get back in the Navy?
Well, in the First World War, I was in the United States Marine Corps, which, yes, was a branch of the Navy, but this time I came back at the behest of Secretary of the Navy, Frank Knox, on December 21st, 1940.
Oh, well, then you've been in a long time.
18 months. I'm an old-timer.
Well, was that in connection with this physical fitness program that you came back?
Yes, Frank Knox had created the program. He established it and asked me to come back and head it up.
Will you explain how the plan works?
Well, we recruit our men all over the country. I've made several trips. Now I have a representative doing it. We take men with college degrees or men who have had a great deal of experience in athletics. They must have degrees in physical education on the whole. Then we take them down to Norfolk, give them an 8 weeks course in the Navy way of physical training, and then they go out to every activity in continental America.
Well, how many are there?
3,000.
That's a lot of athletes. A lot of muscle.
It's a lot of athletes, a lot of muscle, and they're all good. They, after they get out to these various activities in continental America, they perform the duties of the battalion commanders, company commanders, regimental masters at arms, and et cetera. In addition to that, they give the regular physical training that is required of every man in the United States Navy.
Well, now, Bob Feller mentioned he's going to gunnery school. What's that?
Well, that's a school that's just been established. Now that we have the thing rolling and in perfect shape, every athlete in the Navy is going to go to the gunnery school and there to qualify himself for sea duty. You know, at sea, everyone has to take a battle station. And unless a man is qualified for a battle station, he has no place aboard a ship.
Well, I understand that even mess attendants on a battleship, will say, in time of battle, do have a part in the team. They go through a battle station and work.
Yes, they do. That's true. Everyone aboard ship goes to a battle station. And unless these men who have a high rating, see, they've got the highest non-commissioned rating, the chief specialist, unless they have a battle station, there would be no place for them aboard ship. Though they are good physical instructors and can do their job, the physical instruction, in addition to the work at a battle station.
Yes, well, you're certainly turning out a fine bunch of men, and I know that all of the country wants to thank you for helping build not only a bigger Navy, but a better Navy. Thank you very much, Commander Tunney, and here is your souvenir from Bowman Shelter.
Well, Warren, it looks as if Uncle Sam's going to be well represented in that ball game tomorrow night.
Oh, yes, sir. And in the bigger game that all America is playing right now.
And next Monday, folks, we'll be talking to some more men who are doing an outstanding job for our country. They are the men of the United States Navy who are manning the guns on the ships of the Merchant Marine. See you next Monday. Good night, folks.
So long, everybody.
Say, can you count to three?
Can I count to three? Listen. One, my head's thumping. Two, my nerves are jumping. Three, my stomach's bumping. I'm half sick with a headache, and you ask me if...
Well, mister, if you have three-way misery like that, then ask